Jolly old St. Nicholas, a bishop of the church in Myra, modern-day Turkey, a staunch defender of the faith, went after people like Arius and others that wanted to destroy the truth of the gospel and to erode the teachings of Christ in the scriptures. Lots of stories I could tell you about St. Nicholas, like about this Christmas slap one time. He got in trouble for that with Arius, but instead tonight, I want us to think about more comforting things. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. That's a command, you know. It's not a suggestion. God in Isaiah chapter 40 is commanding his people. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. A voice says, cry. A good cry, a cry that announces comfort and joy. St. Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, begins 2 Corinthians with these words. You've heard them oftentimes at a funeral. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the source of all comfort, the God of all consolation. He comforts us in our sorrow so that we can comfort others in their sorrows with the consolation that we ourselves have received from God. St. Paul, writing a word of comfort, a proclamation of good news to the people at Corinth, reminding them of Isaiah's command, comfort, comfort my people, speak tenderly to them. Speak tenderly to them. Cry to them that their warfare is over. Announce to them that they've received pardon for all of their sins. Isaiah in the 8th century, Isaiah in the 6th century, John the Baptist at the time of Christ, St. Paul, and 2,000 years later, heralds still announcing tidings of comfort and joy. Announce to my people, says the Lord, that the penalty has been paid twice. The debt has been paid. You've received double for your sins. Now, some people would automatically say, well, jeepers, you know, that's kind of harsh. Instead of getting one spanking, I got two. That's not what's being said there. You've received double. Not because you've paid for your sins. The debt, it's a passive word there in Isaiah 40. The debt has been paid for you by another. He's paid it in full. And you've received a double share of God's mercy. For all of your sins, a double share of mercy, comfort, and consolation. What shall I cry? All flesh is grass. The grass withers, the flower fades. But God's word remains forever. God's word remains forever. Tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Little Jimmy, elementary age, old enough to run an errand for his mother, but not too old. Little Jimmy, only a block and a half, two blocks away, around the corner to the grocery store to get a gallon of milk for his mother. You think you can handle that? Here's the money. Jimmy says, I can do it, Mom. So he goes, shouldn't take very long. She knows the owner of the grocery store. Her son's not returning. And Mom gets a little bit worried. She looks out the window. She doesn't see her son coming. She calls on the phone to the grocery store. And the grocery store owner says, no, Jimmy hasn't been in here all morning. Now she's really getting worried. She puts on her coat. She's about to go out the door, and all of a sudden, in comes Jimmy. He's got a few tears on his eyes, on his cheeks, and he thinks, what's going on? What happened? Where have you been? She gives him a big hug. Don't you know you scared the living daylights out of me? I was worried. Now she's comforted with a hug from her little boy. And this is what Jimmy said. He said, I was on my way to the grocery store, and right before I went in, my best friend Billy, he had a bike accident. Bent the frame of his bike, the chain was off, his knee was skinned, and so I stopped to help him. I didn't make it to the store. What do you mean you stopped to help him? You're just a little kid. You can't fix his bike. And that's when Jimmy said, no, I didn't try to fix his bike. I just sat there and I cried with him, Mom. I just sat there and cried with him. What a comfort. Cry, comfort, comfort my people. Speak tenderly to them. I want you to tell me, what is it that is a source or a gift of comfort to you? Well, I know being around little kids, and if you've been around little kids, it could be a special blanket or a special stuffed animal that they won't go to bed without. Or it could be a little pacifier. Or it could be a thumb that is a source of great comfort when one is tired or just not feeling well and you're small. Or if you're cold and you're in bed and you go, oh my goodness, I could really use one of those thick blankets on my bed. A comforter, huh? I could use one of those comforters on my bed. Or if you've got a sore throat or you've got a cold, maybe some chicken noodle soup. Maybe a throat lozenge or a cough drop would provide some comfort to you or for you. Comfort. People talk about Southern comfort, or they talk about comfort food. Like if you're away from home, maybe stationed somewhere like in Afghanistan or in Iraq or something, and you're away from family and loved ones, sometimes it might be a gift of food that's sent to you or something you eat that is such a comfort. Well, how about when you get some bad news? How about when the medical news isn't good for you or a loved one? Or how about when the announcement comes that someone you love has died? Where do you find your comfort and consolation then? A sympathy card? A phone call? Maybe it's when a person just comes and sits next to you. When I got the call that my dad had died and I was 20 years old at college, and I got onto the bus and there was this wino that was sitting next to me. He usually traveled on the train, but this time he was flying, or if you will, traveling first class. He offered me a little sip from his flask. He didn't understand. I didn't want to be bothered. I just wanted to be alone. Didn't he know my dad had died? And then when we stopped at a little restaurant area, you know, they were stopping at places along the way, stopped for like a 15, 20-minute break if somebody wanted to go in and get coffee. All of a sudden, I feel the tap on my shoulder. I think, give me a break, God. Keep this wino away from me. And it was my roommate, John. The next-door neighbor, Milo Anderson and John, they got into a car when they heard that my dad had died. And John didn't want me to ride on the bus all the way home by myself. And here they had driven 75, 80 miles an hour so that they could come and share the journey with me. What is it that comforts you? Maybe just a special friend sitting next to you who says absolutely nothing, but is a tremendous presence of comfort for you in your sorrow or in your time of uncertainty. Comfort. Tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. What do you do if you're in the congregation of which St. Peter is the pastor? 1st and 2nd Peter, one of the bedrock apostles of Jesus. And the people say, you know what, we got a problem here, Peter. We've been waiting and waiting and waiting. How long is Advent supposed to last? We thought a few weeks, a few months, a few years. This is taking forever. What about the delay? Does that mean that the promises aren't true? Have we been waiting in vain? The people were worried. And so Peter, in our second reading for tonight, offers some consolation, offers some comfort to people who are worried about the delay. Peter has some amazing things to say to us. Did you hear what Peter said? He said, first of all, God's not slow. God's not slow as you think about slow. God is just simply being patient because God doesn't want anyone to perish. God wants all to come to repentance, Peter says, and to share in the gift of eternal life. Secondly, Peter says, you need to understand, God's time is a whole lot different than our timepiece. It's not the same. And then he quotes Psalm 90, verse 4. 1,000 years is like a day to the Lord. A day to the Lord is like 1,000 years. Right? I mean, it's just, you can't compare God's time to our time. God's not slow. He's just patient. And God's got a different timepiece that he's wearing. And then Peter says, you don't have to worry about the promise. Because God is faithful. And Jesus is coming. In fact, it's going to be like a thief in the night. And thieves don't announce when they're coming. So you better be attentive. Pay attention. Because it could be any moment. And you know, delays aren't so bad. When we flew out to Connecticut, Southwest Airlines, you know, I told my wife, I said, it gets to be almost like they're always late in departing. But you get free baggage. That's worth a lot to folks nowadays, right? And so all of a sudden, we're out on the runway, and we're just sitting there thinking, what is going on? But I had a window seat. So I looked out the window. I said, look at Julie. Now I understood the delay. Now I understood the delay. The delay was a blessing. You know what they were doing? They were de-icing the planes. I'll tell you what, I'd rather get there late than not at all. Seriously. Delays are not always bad. We think they are. We get impatient. And Peter says, you gotta understand. This is a good delay. God's doing some de-icing here. He wants to make sure that that plane takes off and it arrives at its appointed destination and doesn't crash and burn. You see? God is patient. He doesn't want anybody to perish. All flesh is grass. The grass withers, the flower fades. But God's word lasts, stands fast forever. You can bank on it, Peter says. So don't worry. And instead of worrying and getting all concerned and nervous, why don't you spend your time, he says, your lives in holiness and godliness. In other words, be a Saint Nicholas. Recognize that everything you have is an inheritance from God. And use it in the name of Jesus to serve God's people. The gospel, the good news, to care for the poor, to help the needy. What an opportunity in the midst of this delay to use the time in godliness. Our first reading for tonight from Isaiah. Very interesting story. Because if you've been reading Isaiah chapters 1 through 39, it's a prophetic hard word one after another. You're getting punished and you deserve everything you're getting. In fact, you ought to get it forever and you ought to get more of it. Why? Well, because Israel neglected the widows and the orphans, the strangers, the foreigners, the poor. They committed idolatry and immorality. They're getting exactly what they deserve. And you're hearing this boom, 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 like a drumbeat over and over again for 39 chapters. And then all of a sudden, chapter 40, which is called 2nd Isaiah, Isaiah of the 6th century, the book of comfort or the book of consolation, all of a sudden there's like, comfort, comfort my people. In other words, stop beating them up. Stop chastising them. Now it's time to speak tenderly. To comfort them with the only good news there is. The good news that God is doing a new thing and that you can bank on his word. There will be a voice crying in the wilderness, yea, John the Baptist, thank you. And John will say, prepare the way of the Lord. because God has already prepared his way to your heart, a straight path, the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by him, right there in the wilderness, through the desert, from Babylonian captivity, all the way back to Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, the promised land, heaven, the home of the saints. Comfort, comfort my people. Jesus said to his disciples before he left this earth, he said, it's to your advantage that I go away so that I can send to you the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. That's what the Holy Spirit's name is, the Comforter. Better than a thick blanket on your bed. Better than a little pacifier or a thumb to suck on when you're scared. Better than a sympathy card. The presence of the resurrected Jesus, the one who was born in Bethlehem, the one who was crucified on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, the one who was raised on the third day, the one who gives us his body and his blood for the forgiveness of our sins this night again. A gift of comfort and joy for God's people. Comfort, comfort my people. What do you do when you're fresh out of seminary and you're 26 years old? You come to your first parish in Lake Lillian, Minnesota. You've been there for only 4 weeks. And then you get the cry on the phone. And you need to go down to Hennepin County Medical Center, 2-hour drive into the cities, children's unit there, because a tragedy has happened. Let me tell you in a nutshell this story. My first funeral in my first congregation. A 19-year-old girl by the name of Kim Wadsworth. She had a little baby out of wedlock, little Kelly Wadsworth. She had been baptized before I came in Lake Lillian at Our Savior's Lutheran, at Grace Lutheran. And then Kim wanted to provide for her daughter, so she was going to the University of Minnesota taking classes, and in addition to that, working 30 hours a week on a part-time job. So that meant little Kelly had to be in daycare. She was in the best daycare that she could find in the Twin Cities. She wanted the best for her child. Little 4-month-old, right? And the daycare mother has her in a playpen so she can run upstairs to get a change of clothes for little Kelly. She comes down, and the baby's not breathing and has scratches all over its face. She called 911, was taken to the hospital, put on life support. And I was down there sitting throughout the night as they ran the test with Kim and with her mother, Jen, as they waited, hoping against hope for good news. And eventually all the tests said that this little baby, 4 months old, was brain dead. They found out afterwards that this little 3-year-old boy that was there at the daycare wanted to play with little Kelly, got into the little playpen, lifted her up, and then threw her out. And then realized that he had made a mistake then, so he crawled out, and that's why she had all these scratches all over her, because he was trying to wrestle her back into the playpen. What do you say to somebody who's trying to do everything they can as a 19-year-old mother going to school, providing for her child, working 30 hours a week? I just sat there with them. And when they asked for prayer, we prayed and we read scripture. She said to me, they've said that little Kelly is brain dead and that we need to take her off of the life support. Can we have a prayer service for her, Pastor Dave? I want to give her back to God. I want to say goodbye. So we did. Grandma and Kim and I around little Kelly. Thanking God for the gift in the midst of our tears, not understanding why this had happened, but trusting that God's love would never fail us. So that was my first funeral. And Kim decided that Kelly's organs were going to be given to 3 other small children. So little Kelly saved 3 other lives. In everything, God works for good. Even in the mystery of why the sorrow happens. And as we got ready for the funeral of this little 4-month-old, Kim came to me and she said, Pastor Dave, would it be okay if we lit her baptismal candle? I need to know that the promises God has made are still there. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. God makes a promise to Kelly and to us in baptism that we are His beloved forever. And that, my friends, is comfort as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And so we lit her baptismal candle, and in our tears and sorrow, we remembered that the promises of God in Christ Jesus are eternal, and they are a comfort to us and for us. St. Mark begins his gospel with these words: "The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." The beginning of the gospel, a genre, a literary type. The word gospel, evangelion, literally means, it's a military word, victory announced beforehand. Chapter 1, verse 1 of Mark's gospel is the header. We know how this story ends. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. After me, John says, comes one who is mightier than I. The thong of whose sandal I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Amen.